listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Eva, and I'm here with a new episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to my voice on. Also, if you have an extra 30 seconds, take the time to rate, comment, all that great stuff, because it is greatly appreciated. So let's get into this, guys, because I know you are long overdue for a new episode. It has been kind of interesting. I feel like every year around mid-season finales, even I noticed like for the season finales last year, because I kind of did it a little bit differently than I normally do, I always try to figure out what is the range of when I can try to like group them all together, because they spread them out sometimes so far. And so it's like you end up waiting for the mid finale for one show so you can add it into like the episode discussion, because then it doesn't make sense to like add it to the one, like the part two that's going to have other episodes or other shows in it, because then it'll be way, way far gone. So this is all over the place. And we are finally going to start discussing some mid-season finales. I am super excited. Just a few announcements before we jump right into this, because you know, sometimes people don't listen all the way to the end or to the very, very end. But coming up, we are currently in crisis, the crisis crossover on the CW with all of our DC TV shows. And that's also going to be done differently than I've done in past years. I usually do one episode covering the entire crossover. But if you guys didn't know, which I recently found out because I've been so out of the loop of keeping track of when things are going to air. So this year is a 5-episode crossover, and we are currently in the midst of the first 3 episodes. We are not going to get the final 2 episodes until January, and there's a pretty big gap between that. So I was going back and forth on it, and I was like, what makes the most sense? Do I just wait until January and talk about the entire thing, or do I split it into 2 and talk about the first 3 episodes and then talk about the final 2 episodes? I feel like that makes the most sense, but it also depends on what happens in this 3rd episode. I don't know, guys. So this is most likely this year, the crisis coverage, our crossover event is going to be covered in 2 episodes. So look out for that. If you don't see the crisis episode next week, then that means that I am combining, just waiting until January to cover it, because that, depending on that 3rd episode, that's what is going to help me decide how we discuss this. But I feel like if they're giving us a break, then the 3rd episode has to have a big like moment happening, and therefore if that's the case, I'm for sure going to split it into 2 parts. So there's a lot of craziness going on. I get so emotional like watching Arrow, you guys. I get misty-eyed every single time the show starts, that I literally cannot watch it live, because I just put it off as long as I can, because you guys know this is the final season. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I've been like looking at the episode count, and Arrow this season has 10 episodes. So I don't know what all is going to happen, because I believe the crossover episode for Arrow is going to be episode 8 in the season, or episode 7. I think it's episode 8. So I don't know. We'll see. So that's the news on that. I know I haven't given you guys a movie episode in a long time. You guys know December, I usually don't do a lot of movie episodes, but I'm still trying to go see Knives Out. I have it on my plans to try to see it this weekend, and I'm going to hopefully get that up. That'll probably be a bonus episode. So if you are subscribed, then you will be the first alerted to when that episode drops. And that stars Chris Evans and a ton of other people. So I've been super excited about seeing that. There was something else dropping in December that just literally slipped my mind that I was contemplating discussing, because I know we've been pretty light, especially this back half, which is kind of normal on movies. So I want to make sure I get that all out. And then also, you guys know I am super excited because Runaways is dropping very, very soon. So, of course, you are going to get a full episode on that whole discussion because you guys know it's the last season of Runaways and it's the crossover with Cloak and Dagger, who their series has been canceled. So this will be our last time seeing Cloak and Dagger in this like universe or whatever you want to call it. So look out for that. Also, I know I feel like we have a lot of like TV stuff to discuss. You, the new season of You is dropping around Christmas. So of course I will be doing an entire episode of that. They just dropped the teaser trailer and I'm just like, Penn Badgley, you are the perfect Joe. Like, he's so good at being Joe. If you want to hear more of me just talking about how good Penn Badgley is at being Joe, go back and listen to my season one discussion on You, because you guys know I read the books and I watched the show and I have a lot of opinion about it. So go check that out. But I think that's enough of announcements. Let's get into this. As usual, I'm going to have time marks throughout so you can jump to wherever show that you want to hear me discuss, because I watch so many different things. I am pretty sure you do not watch all the shows that I'm going to talk about. So let's get into this. We are going to start with This Is Us, because that one ended first. We're going in order of their when their mid-season finales aired. So This Is Us. This has been a very interesting season. This is the fourth season. Again, tongue-tied. This is the fourth season of This Is Us, and we've kind of expanded on the family in a lot of ways, and we've been introduced to a lot of new characters in a lot of ways. And so I think for how we're going to do this is usually it's like what I liked, what I've been enjoying so far, what I haven't been enjoying so far, and kind of what I want to see in the rest of the season. So we have a lot of hindsighting into, because we know when we ended last season, we got a little glimpse into the future, and there were a lot of questions on that glimpse in the season three finale on kind of where some people were, because there just was a lot of things that were missing. So there were a lot of questions. And going into this, you can feel that there is a lot of setup happening as far as kind of slightly moving those puzzle pieces into place to kind of say, like, this is how we get to where we end up in the future. And so a lot of hindsight into possibly there being a Kate and Toby divorce in the future. We did see in the season three finale that we saw Toby, but we didn't see Kate. And so there was a lot of questions of if they were even still together. And so we also met baby Jack as a grown up, and we learned that he is blind. And we also see they kind of like sprinkle him in a little bit to kind of tie into like how the things that are happening now impact him in the future. And we kind of saw that in the finale, in the mid season finale episode, where some of the traditions that Uncle Nicky helped start at Thanksgiving that he kind of bought from him and Jack's childhood, we kind of see grown baby Jack. It's kind of hard to like, because there are two Jacks, but we're just going to call him grown baby Jack implementing in the future with his pregnant wife. So I don't know. It's interesting watching that, but we see that Toby had a drastic change physically. So he has lost a ton of weight, and we know we've seen him and Kate kind of struggle with their weight throughout this entire series, if you will. And we know that we also had like that episode where I don't know if it was an episode or it was multiple episodes where they met in a group that where they people talked about like their weight and all these other things. And so we kind of saw them where they went through that period where they were both trying to lose weight, but Toby was always losing weight faster than Kate was. And a lot of this also kind of ties into like the real actors. I mean, like, if the real actor doesn't lose weight, then like you can't really write that the character on screen has lost weight. So it kind of has to flow with whatever the actor is doing. But the actual actor in Chris Sullivan, who plays Toby, like, in real life, he has lost a ton of weight. So, I mean, going into this season, Toby in season four compared to Toby in season three is a drastic change. So there's no way you can't really hint to that. And so they're having some issues with that because he's been hiding his drastic weight loss from Kate, and he's been like sneaking off to go work out in the gym. So once she finds out, then it becomes like a thing in their marriage. And then Kate finds out that, I'm pretty sure it was in this mid finale. Yeah. So Kate finds, or they're at, because everyone ends up meeting at Randall's house because it's Thanksgiving. And this is where Thanksgiving is taking place, is at Randall's new place in Philly, because that's where they moved, because he became the mayor of Philadelphia. So, of course, he moved the whole family there, but they're having Thanksgiving there. And so towards the end, Toby's phone goes off. Kate goes to, like, grab it, and she notices that it's text messages from another woman, and it's pretty much shows previous conversations between this mystery woman and Toby, where it seems like he has been offloading all of his frustrations with Kate and her not understanding all this other stuff to this woman who we have not met yet. So I'm assuming we're going to meet her when we come back from the break. So that just spells trouble, because like, when you get to that point where you are talking about your spouse to another person who is not in your relationship or who is not a therapist, then to me, that is at the least, emotional cheating. So there is that. So we're going to see what happens when we come back from our little holiday break, but we have that. Of course, we saw Tess. She came out to her parents in season 3. And we kind of see her kind of struggling with how she wants to handle it now that she's starting at a new school. She initially came in like, oh, I'm going to be out and proud. But then she kind of like shrunk back from that whole idea. And so we see, which I want to say, Kevin has been like the all-star person this season. I feel like he's been really advocating and helping people. And he's always kind of been that way, but then we saw him like struggle with his drinking thing. But then going to this season, he's like really been hardcore, that mediator type of a person. And he is so good with the kids, and especially with Tess, and just like helping her through this whole like life journey that she's on. And so we kind of see him like helping her with her struggle around if she wants to continue to hide who she really is, or if she wants to like put it out there that this is how she feels and she's attracted to girls. I was going to say women, but she's like a child. She's attracted to girls. And so we see her come out on Instagram, which was like a cute moment, and she shared it with Kevin. So that was great. Kevin, like I said, had a really interesting season because we saw him struggling a lot last season, but it seems like emotionally he's gotten himself in a better spot. We've seen him helping. He literally moved next door to Uncle Nicky to kind of help him on this journey, and just seeing that development in their relationship, because for a long time we didn't even know that Jack had a brother. We didn't find out until last season. And then we thought that the brother was, or no, we did know he had a brother. It was always alluded that the brother was dead. And then we found out last season that his brother is actually still alive. And the fact that we kind of get to see him, his integration into the family, and we know that in the season 3 finale, he is there in the future when we start to talk about what was going on in that season 3 finale with the family all gathering to in support of Rebecca, still kind of like murky on what was going on, if she was like dying or what was happening there. But we know he's still there, so we kind of get to see, like I said, this has just been a season of hindsighting and kind of like planting those seeds that are going to grow into the future that we saw. So it was just good to see like that relationship building, and to see Uncle Nicky like being integrated into the whole Pearson family that we know as a whole, and also just seeing how much Kevin has transformed in this amount of time compared to where we ended with him in season 4. And we even get some allusions to like Kevin, because we like find out like, oh, he actually does want a family, and because he has like this epiphany and he actually wants a family. He wants to have that family by 40. And in the mid-season finale, we kind of get a little glimpse into the future where he has a pregnant fiance. And this episode was really weird because we were playing with multiple timelines, because you know that's what this is us likes to do. They like to confuse us for a long time as we're following Rebecca around. We're thinking we're in this one timeline, but we come to find out we're actually in two separate timelines. So we're in the current one that we're in, where Thanksgiving is taking place at Randall's place, and then we're in the second one where they have Thanksgiving at the Pearson's cabin, which is like a little bit further into the future. And well, it's not Thanksgiving, it's the kids, the big three's birthday. They're turning 40. And so we see that all happening in a second parallel timeline. I know, this is us. They like to confuse us. So we see that happen. And so we do see that he kind of also gets that. And we knew that that was coming for him because we did see his kids in the season 3 finale when we jump way into the future. So that is Kevin. Randall, he has been dealing with trying to be mayor, moving to a new city, dealing with all these things. We have Deja, who is running around, done got entrenched with a local boy who has an infant daughter. And I think it's been really interesting seeing how Randall and Beth handle this, because we know we saw them struggle last season. They had like some issues with their whole relationship, and they're in a better space now. And we know like in the future, there is no divorce in their future, as far as we know, if we're talking about what happened in the season 3 finale. I feel like there are so many timelines in this. Like, am I talking about a comic book show? What is going on? But I think it's been interesting to kind of see how they've been dealing with it, with this. And I think Deja is an interesting character in this whole Randall and Beth storyline, because she is an adopted child. Her actual biological mother is still alive. So they have to deal with not only Deja, but like deal with her biological mom and her, and trying to keep that relationship with her. But then she's also older than their two younger daughters. And so they kind of skipped, they had like a mini jump in years, and now they're kind of in this teenage stage, because Deja is now a freshman in high school. So now they're about to have to deal with all these teenage things that come with being a teenager, which we've all experienced. And part of that includes dating. And not only is she dating, but she's dating a young gentleman who impregnated another young girl and has an infant child. And that, I feel like that is a lot to put onto a 15, 16 year old person who's like, doesn't have to be involved in that. So I think it's been interesting just following that storyline and kind of seeing how it plays out. And I think it'll be interesting to see kind of where that leads, because I don't think we didn't see Deja in our future jump in the season 3 finale. And we didn't see the littlest one, which I don't know why I always don't know. Annie, that's her name, Annie. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. We also see that we're kind of what leads up to where Rebecca is in our season 3 finale. She is dealing with early stages of Alzheimer's, and Randall has kind of picked up on it in this Thanksgiving mid-season finale episode. And he's kind of been trying to like talk to her about it, but she's been very like aggressive about it and very standoffish and like, no, I don't have this. But then she finally, like in the end, is like, okay, maybe there is something going on. And she makes him promise not to tell anyone else, which kind of leads me to believe, because when we jump to when the big three are turning 40, Randall is not there. And they pretty much say like, he's not coming, because him and Kevin are in some type of a very deep fight and they are not talking by their birthday. And I have a feeling it's because Randall did not tell them about what was going on with their mom, because in the timeline that we've been following Rebecca all around, thinking we're in the current timeline, her Alzheimer's has progressed drastically to the point where she like is losing chunks of time. She doesn't know where she is and all that. So there is that. And also because in our current timeline, Randall and Miguel end up taking Rebecca to the doctor. So I don't know. That's what I feel like is going to be kind of the basis for why Kevin and Randall are not talking. But I could be wrong. That's just kind of what I'm thinking. So what I want to see, I want to continue to see, because I haven't had a, there haven't been many cry moments this season, which you guys know I'm extra okay with, because like I don't need all that. But I think the storytelling this season has been really strong. I feel like last season it was kind of like whatever, and I kind of had like some opinion about where we'd be going with the stories. But I feel like because we kind of saw what the future looks like, we got a little glimpse into what the future looks like, and now we're kind of laying the foundation on how we get there. I feel like now is kind of like making sense and the stories are actually interesting. And I honestly don't feel like we've had too many filler episodes. I don't think I could say that any one episode was a filler episode, even though I feel like for This Is Us, I never really feel like any of the episodes are filler episodes, but that is This Is Us. This Is Us returns, or we didn't see Rebecca actually go to the doctor with Randall and Miguel in this episode. It was in the preview for the next episode. And also in the preview, we see Kate and Toby arguing. So that is what's to come when the show returns January 14th. Let's get into How to Get Away with Murder. This has been stressing me out. We are in season 6. This is the final season of How to Get Away with Murder. I did not write down what the episode number was. Okay, so I'm pretty sure I got that wrong. There are 15 episodes in this final season, and the mid-season finale was the 9th episode. So this entire season, we have been trying to figure out who killed Annalise. So confused. Like, I have no clue what's going on. From the episode before the mid-season finale, I was like, okay, so Annalise isn't really dead, because it made it seem like she was going to do the whole getaway plan and like take on a whole new identity and disappear. But then it was like, we did have the actual body, right? We saw the body in the casket. But then when we came back for the mid-season finale, we see that she didn't actually do it. She ends up turning around. So there is that. We found out a lot in this episode. Laurel finally made an appearance, even though it was by video call. But we finally saw Laurel after we have not seen her at all this entire season. It's just been like, where's Laurel? What happened to Laurel? We've been thinking that her brother like snatched her up. We had no clue. Come to find out, Tegan helped her escape. So there is that. They also find out that there is a mole, and we don't know who the mole is, but we kind of have been getting, so we have like one whole parallel flash forward happening, where we have Annalise's funeral, and then we have these clips of seeing all of the kids being questioned in an interrogation room separately. And it's like, we're supposed to be under the impression that it is about who killed Annalise, but kind of find out it's about who killed Asher, because they really got us. Because one of the flash forwards showed Asher with blood on his top going to visit Bonnie. So like that was supposed to make us think that he had a role in it or whatever. But then we find out in the mid-season finale how he ended up getting blood on him, because the kids all find out that he's the mole. And then Oliver, which was so funny and so surprising, is the one who ends up hitting him on the back of the head with the fireplace poker, which they were making it seem like alluded to it being connected to who killed Annalise. So they were really trying to get us this season. But But I think it was so funny that it ended up being him. So he hit him on the back of the head, but he didn't end up dying. And so we see that scene where we saw him show up at Bonnie's place, the blood all over him, that was from when he got hit in the head. So he was still alive when he left the kids. And the last known place that we know that Asher was alive at was at Bonnie's place. And so it kind of narrows down who the killers could be, especially if he was killed for being the mole who has been telling the, I think it's the FBI, all the information on everything that has been happening. And he's been doing it because they essentially were trying to blackmail him in relation to his mom. And I mean, who's not, what kid is not going to do anything for their parent? So you kind of can understand, but it's also kind of like you just threw everyone under the bus. And also, it's also like Annalise technically has not killed anyone in this whole scenario. And she says this multiple times this season, but it is actually true. I have said this before. If you look at everything that has happened in this entire series, she has not actually killed anyone at all. But I mean, could it be Annalise who killed Asher? I don't know. Could it be Bonnie? Because that's the last place we've seen him. But I feel like that's too on the nose for it to have been Bonnie. It could it be Frank? It's like, who could have actually killed Asher? Because it seems like he got killed going back to his apartment where he lives. And so I'm like, well, who could be there? And who would be stealthy enough to do it? Because it looks like he was killed in the hallway. So it's like, it either could be Frank, or could it have been Gabriel? Because like him and Asher have been going back and forth over Michaela. So I feel like we still have a good amount of suspects outside of the three that, or the two that they pulled in, which was Connor and Michaela for questioning. And then Oliver, we see Oliver run up and say, it's me. And we have no context until we actually see that he was the one who hit him on the back of the head. So maybe Connor thinks he in some way caused him to die. I don't know. But then, so I wrote down my actual suspects, I think, are Frank, Gabriel, or Bonnie. And Bonnie's like a very, very final, like way, way out there. She's not in my top. But then at the funeral, who shows up at the funeral? Wes. And I am like, what is going on? So is Wes not dead? Didn't we see Wes's body on the table, in the morgue, on the table? Wasn't he ice cold dead? What is going on? I am so confused. They cannot say that Wes has a twin because there is no way. We never saw a twin show up. And if they do a twin thing, I'm like not here for it because, you know, Pretty Little Liars has scarred me for forever for a twin being the fall person for murdering people. So I hope that's not the direction that they're going. But either way, I have a lot of questions. How's Wes still alive? This whole season has just been like a shit show. And I'm just like, hurry up and come back because I have questions that I need answers to. And the sad thing about it is that How to Get Away does not return until April 2nd. So we have to wait a whole 3 months before we can find out what is going on. Oh my gosh, ABC, seriously. So that is How to Get Away. I know that was super short, but like I told those, I just had quick points on How to Get Away. So moving on, 911, we are in season 3. I've actually been enjoying this season. You guys know I've for the most part enjoyed 911. I think what I've said previously about 911 is that I've wanted them to work on their overarching storylines for their seasons, because once we get to the end of the season, like it doesn't really make sense. And it seems like there's this rush to kind of like wrap things up and make it seem like there was an overarching storyline when there really wasn't. But for the most part, I have been enjoying season 3. I feel like they have been tackling some of the things that a lot of them have went through in the previous season. So we have Maddie still dealing with what was going on when she killed her ex-husband. So we've seen her kind of dealing with that. And then in the mid-season finale, we see her revisit the scene of the crime and kind of like let that whole situation go. We've seen Hen and her wife kind of like going through their whole IVF situation, and it kind of leads up to them after like Hen ends up hitting, like struggling with that whole situation because her wife didn't really handle the loss of those eggs during the whole IVF process well. So we kind of been seeing her like dealing with her whole home situation. And we see her end up getting into an accident and killing the driver. And so seeing him deal with that, because, you know, she's like out here to save lives, she ended up like taking the life away, even though it was completely an accident. But then I kind of see her do like heal from that and do like a whole 360 and kind of see her and her wife have plans to like foster a kid. And that's all due to kind of what happened in the mid-season finale, where we had this young boy. Now that was an emotional scene where his mom ended up having like a heart attack and like pretty much dying, but she like gets saved and brought back to life. But like seeing him like call police and have to like administer CPR, all of that, and then like that really pulled on him. And so they end up her wife ended up inviting the kid in like the house, the temporary like foster place that he was staying, where like a bunch of kids were, and inviting them to the station house for Thanksgiving, because they did a whole surprise Thanksgiving thing since they all had to work on Thanksgiving, like their family did for them. And that lets them be like, oh, maybe we should try to adopt. So that was great. It was also great just to see like everyone, even though everyone was dealing with different things, like they were going to therapy and getting kind of the help that they needed. And it was very much so apparent, because there was someone else who kind of had, was kind of dealing with a lot of, I don't want to say like anger over a lot of things, because you guys know one of my favorite people who like pulls at my heartstrings every single time he comes on the screen is Christopher, Eddie's son. And they did a lot with, they have done a lot with like making sure Christopher is very prominent this season, which I've been enjoying. And I think that was one of the things that I said that I wanted to see more of, was just like that whole like seeing more of Christopher and like his relationship with Eddie and all of that. But we do know, like at the beginning of the season, we started off with the whole tsunami situation where like Christopher almost died. And so we kind of also pending what happened in the season 2 finale, where Buck ended up getting injured to the point where he was hanging out of commission, and they were like, oh, it's a possibility you may not be able to walk again, so you may not be able to work again. So we see him go through like rehab, all this other stuff, he's ready to come back, but then he has this whole issue with being on blood thinners. So then we see him like sue the fire station and Bobby, because he feels like they were preventing him from going back to work, even though technically he was cleared to be able to return to work. So we kind of see Eddie dealing with not only Christopher almost dying, but also kind of feeling like he was betrayed by his essentially best friend, and kind of like taking his anger out on people. So he ends up with having a very big anger issue this season, and we get some cameo appearances, or is it really cameo, guest starring appearances from Ronda Rousey in this season of 911, which is also very interesting. And they put her in her element and put her in like a off the cuff like street battle type of a scene, so we kind of got to see her put her moves to work. But it kind of leads to Eddie having issues with his anger, and so of course Bobby finds out and he's like, you need to go to therapy. So it's a lot of people in therapy this season. We also see like Bobby has like a near-death experience, because he ends up trying to save someone from a truck that has like high radioactive, like I don't even know what they are, but it's like high radioactive things in it that ends up catching on fire, and Bobby ends up being in that area for too long, so he's exposed to this high radioactive energy for too long, which essentially means like he could have cancer, like rapid cancer, and die. But then he ends up getting cleared for it, but come to find out it's not Bobby who got cancer, it's freaking Michael who got cancer. I'm like, y'all not finna sit here and be playing oops-a-daisy on me and switching up things and having people out here about to die after I'm thinking we all in the clear. So we see in this mid-season finale, Michael's out here stumbling around, sleepwalking, waking up in Athena's bed, and like doing all these things. He done walked through the glass window at the mall. Come to find out, they done found a tumor in his brain. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So we got to deal with that when we come back. And we also kind of got like a little bit more backstory on Athena, kind of where she came from, and like how we found out about her first fiance, like the person who she was going to marry, that he ended up being murdered. And we got a whole episode on that, and kind of like, after so many years, that being that whole case being solved. So a lot is going on this first half of the season. I think it's still a lot to come in this as we move into the second half of the season. But overall, I've been enjoying this season, and I'm excited to kind of see where we go with it. And hopefully we don't get too many, we don't get too many filler episodes. I didn't really talk about Chimney, but we know Chimney and Maddie are dating, and he's really been supporting her through her whole journey of trying to get through her whole like emotional thing with being a victim of domestic violence and end up killing like the person who had been abusing her for so many years. And we also had saw Maddie have a stalker moment, which ended up that whole situation, how that turned out. And then the woman ended up stabbing the husband, and then he ended up surviving. And then she's like, oh, we're going to work it out. I'm just like, girl, at that point, you just can't help people. You can't help people unless they want to be helped. But yeah, so 911 returns in the spring. Let's talk about The Good Doctor. So we're in season 3 of The Good Doctor. There's a lot going on with Sean this season. Sean is dating. It has been very interesting seeing how he deals with that whole situation of him being in a relationship. I have to say, Carly girl, you have a lot of patience. Like, I literally, while watching the show, put myself in her situation and be like, could I be that patient? Could I do that? And I'm like, I honestly don't think I could. So like, you are a special person, like, to have that amount of patience as far as trying to be in a relationship with someone like Sean. And I think it's been very interesting to just kind of see how he moves and interacts with people. Because he's not only is he dealing with being in a relationship, this is his first relationship, but also we see him kind of, he has a lot of things that are changing. So we see him dealing with being in a relationship with Carly, this new fresh thing that we haven't seen him do before. And then we also see kind of his relationship with Dr. Glassman changing, because you know, now he's married, and so he's kind of like focusing more on his marriage and not necessarily his relationship with Sean. So that's a change in Sean's life. But then the mid-season finale is he has to revisit his parents, who kind of abandoned him as a child because his father is dying. So we see him kind of like trying to deal with that. Did I say what season we're in for The Good Doctor? We're in season 3. We see him dealing with that and kind of his whole like emotional journey of getting to the point to be able to forgive his father, only for his father's last words to him to be super hateful, even though it wasn't like his I don't think it was his true intention to be hateful, because we know that his father wanted him to come and like and forgive him. But at that point, his mom was like, when he was saying those hateful things, she's like, that's not what he really means, because he's under so much medication. But kind of seeing him deal with that, and then seeing how that ends up leading to him kind of like having a special connection and moment with Leah, where he like actually lets her touch him and he cries in her arms. So we see this as a setup for what's to come in the rest of this season, because it looks like in the next episode when we return that Sean is having second thoughts about Carly, and he's like, I think I have more of a connection with Leah, so therefore I'm going to break up with Carly. And Carly, she's a smart cookie, and so she's like, no, something is going on. So I'm not looking forward to that. I really wish that I could be like, Sean, you need to let Leah go, because you guys know, go back, I think it was season one than season two, a little bit of season two too. Go listen to both those discussions, because I have strong opinions on Leah. Leah is not my favorite character at all. Neither is Morgan, but they've done a lot of work with Morgan, and they've really pulled her character around, because you guys know in season one I was ready for them to let her go, kick her off the show or something, because I was just not here for her. But they've done a lot of work on her, and they've made it so that she's aware. Not only is she aware, but the people around her are aware of like how she interacts with people and kind of like how toxic it is for her drive to determine how she interacts with people. And so they've done a lot of work on her, and I think it's been interesting to see kind of how her relationship with Claire has kind of grown, because we know Claire is like someone who's always been like cares about people and kind of wants to like help people get to their happy place in the world. And so, and we've seen Claire do like a 180 as well, and she's kind of like has been our downer this year because we saw her mom ended up dying from drinking and driving and being like a really bad accident. And so that whole death kind of sent her in a whole downward spiral where she was drinking a lot. She was going out late, doing drugs, showing up to work hungover and late, and all these things. And Clara's kind of been like trying to cover for her, but also been like, you need to speak to someone, you need to talk to someone. And it was finally the moment that kind of helped bring Claire to a realization that she needs to talk to someone was she ends up sleeping with a guy, and come to find out, because he ends up in, because you know it's a TV show, he ends up in the emergency room after being in an accident, and she finds out that he's actually married, and the wife and the kids show up. And so then she kind of like tries to wash her hands of it, because she's like, she's not the one who's cheating. Like, she's not the one who's married, so therefore she's not the one who's cheating. But Alex tells her, because he's lived in this situation, he's like, no, like pretty much like tells her about herself. And then she like has a moment with the guy, and he ends up telling his wife that he has been cheating on her, but that he cheated on her with Claire. And so of course the wife was like peed off and slapped Claire across the face. And Claire like ran to the stairwell crying, and we see Melendez follow after her because he has no clue what's going on. And that was kind of like the thing that broke the camel's back, and she's like, okay, I need to go speak to someone, I need to go talk to someone. So I'm glad, because I'm like, this Claire that we've been having for these last few episodes, I am not a fan of. So we need to get it together. What else? Oh, Melendez and Lim, like they started off in relationship. At this point, they're not in a relationship because there was a lot of personal, relational things conflicting with work things. And so Melendez was willing, even though I have to say, I do not agree with how he handled that whole situation when that patient ended up dying. And he was like, oh, it's his fault, but it's also her fault. She needs to take the blame for it. And I felt like he did not handle that well, because I do feel like she was doing her job and she made that decision as the person in the position that she was in. And for him to just be like, not try to put all the blame on himself, which is like, you're the one who like came up with that procedural option and helped convince the patient to take that option. And yeah, unfortunately she ended up dying, but like to try to push some of that blame onto Lim, I feel like, I don't know, I felt some type of way about that. But Lim, from stemming from that and just from other things that have been happening, decides to end things. So who knows what's gonna happen with them. But then we also kind of see like Melinda's talking to Claire, and I don't think it doesn't seem, it seems more like how it's always been, like how their relationship has always been. But I've told you guys, because I did not see the Lim and Melendez thing coming at all. I could have saw Lim and Park being a thing, Alex being a thing, more so than Lim and Melendez being a thing. And also I could have seen Melendez and Claire being a thing way more so than Melendez and Lim being a thing. So like, I don't know what's gonna happen, but this is why you don't date people you work with. And I'm gonna just leave it at that. But yeah, that's The Good Doctor. It returns January 13th. Let's talk about Empire, and then I'm going to double back to this new show that I did not do a fall TV preview on. But Empire, honestly, I have been half-heartedly watching Empire. You guys know there was so much drama last season around the whole Jussie Smollett thing and what was going on with him in real life. And so going into this season, we knew there wasn't going to be, Jamal was not going to be involved in this season at all. Also, like, we're in season six of Empire. This is the final season of Empire. And I honestly feel like Empire probably should have wrapped up 2 seasons ago, if we want to be honest. But I've honestly been struggling to watch this. Everyone, it's just been super weird. It's been a lot of Andre this season, which I'm fine with. Like, I love seeing the Lion family because it's Empire. I feel like it should be about the family. But haven't really seen a lot of Kingsley, not Kingsley, oh my gosh. Haven't really seen a lot of Hakeem this season. And haven't, I think he's the only one I haven't seen a lot of. And of course, we're not going to see Jamal, because Jamal is out living his life, his married life somewhere that we, it's just like super ominous or whatever. So there's that. And then, of course, there's always Cooking Lucia's drama stemming from what happened last season, because we know they got remarried and they had all that stuff that was happening last season. And then when in the last season, in the season 5 finale, when Lucia was like, Cookie, come with me, because he was trying to like get up out the country because he's finna get snatched up and caught by the FBI. And she was like, no, I'm done. And so, of course, Lucius can hold the longest grudge, but he be out here doing people the most dirtiest, which has always like rubbed me the wrong way. So, of course, he feels some type of way towards Cookie, even though they were all kind of secretly working together to try to like clear his name and put the spotlight back on Damon Cross. But either way, he's out here feeling some type of way. And then Cookie's fine. She's at the point where she's just like, I'm done with it. Like, I'm for real done. And she's out here handing out divorce papers. So that was the shortest remarriage of TV history, I believe. But so that's kind of where we are with Lucius and Cookie. They want to get a divorce. Andre, he has his child now. He's asked his wife, or not his wife, he's asked his girlfriend, his baby's mama to... I'm giving her all these names because I honestly can't think of what her name is. And it's sitting on top of my tongue, so it will come to me. But he asked her to marry him. But he's also, like, we know Andre has struggled with mental health issues for forever, because that is what, like, he has bipolar disorder. So we know that he got Kingsley's heart in the last season, because we know Andre's about to die. We knew a lion was dying last season. Of course, they killed off Kingsley, the brother we didn't even know existed until last season. And he got his heart. So because of his bipolar thing, now he's like manifesting Kingsley. And he is having Kingsley direct him in what he should do in real life. So there is that. I mean, a lot of the things we've been seeing as far as like future previews or whatever, we know that Cookie's gonna die and Lucius is gonna die. We don't know who kills Lucius, but we see him get shot in his office, and we don't know who killed Cookie, but we see her get blown up in the car outside of their house. So we do know that essentially they are gonna die and everything's leading up to that. But as far as what's to come, I'm not sure, because this is actually technically not the mid-season finale. There's one more episode left, but I don't think I'm going to cover this in my next mid-season finale episode, because you guys know I usually do all of the mid-season finales in one episode, and then all the CW, like all the like other networks, and then all the CW mid-season finales in its own separate episode. So I'm just gonna talk about it now, because honestly, I don't know what all too much could happen. We know where we're going, and we know we're probably gonna have a long break, because we usually have a long break between the mid-season finale and the mid-season premiere for Empire. So that's all I'm gonna say on Empire. But the one thing that I do want to talk about, and it's gonna be super short, is I have been watching The Prodigal Son. Or Prodigal Son. I don't know what I want to say. The Prodigal Son. Which is a new show this season. It's on Fox. Fox is all up and down my mid-season finale discussion tonight. But I've actually been enjoying the show. So I'm going to keep it super high level. I've been enjoying the show. I think it's been... it's an interesting kind of like procedural type of a show. Because we're used to seeing a lot of these procedural shows like driven by like... someone commits a crime and it's like our core like police team who go out and follow, and then we kind of like follow their lives in the background. But this one's more so from the point of view of a profiler who's also the son of someone who was a serial killer, and kind of like how he has been processing not only being the son of a serial killer, but being the one who confessed to his... or like got his father put in jail because he called the police to come and arrest him. Or did he call the police? Yeah, he called the police. And then not only that, but then also like he still struggles with not really remembering a lot of things from his childhood, but also being like a profiler in this kind of like crime occupation. So it's been a very interesting show. And, you know, I've been enjoying the acting. I've been enjoying the story lines for the most part. I am questioning how this is sustainable past season one, because if all this is leading up to Bright trying to figure out the missing pieces from his memory as far as the girl in the trunk, and if they saw that this season, like, what do future seasons look like? And I guess it could just be like him going, because we haven't seen his father in a few episodes after that, like, big episode where they were all locked in the jail or whatever it's called, the prison with him. But I mean, I guess it could be him going, still continuing to go to his father, like, with help on his cases. But it's like only so much of that you can really do. So I would be interested to see if this is renewed, which I haven't really looked into the numbers for this, but according to the like promo commercials for the show, it's been like a top rated show, like one of the top rated new shows or whatever. Have not confirmed that, so don't take that at face value. But if this is to get renewed, I would be interested to seeing depending on how this ends. And I don't think, like, they need to solve the girl in the trunk mystery, because this cannot drag on past this first season. So it'll be interesting to see how that all moves forward. But that's all I really wanted to say about Prodigal Son. I am watching it. I'm still watching it. And we will revisit when we talk about the season finales. But yeah, that is all I got. You guys, I have finally gotten these shows out there, like the discussion for these shows out there. I don't know what you guys thought about these mid-season finales or these seasons so far. What are you liking? What are you not liking? What do you want to see when we come back from our holiday break? I want to know it all. Let me know. You can tweet me, you can Instagram comment me, like all that great stuff. At Current Binge on Twitter, at Currently Binging on Instagram. And yeah, I will talk to you guys in the next episode.
Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram at Currently Binging and on Twitter at Current Binge.